And then that's about it. I think it's all we have. So now turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 1, Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How is it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had being yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that which is only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, Father, thank you for the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be a blessing tonight in this short time that we have. I don't know if there's problems in people's lives. I don't know the difficulties. There's so many things that we hide from one another, Lord, and sometimes we even tried to hide from ourselves, I guess, but Father, nothing's hidden from you. So Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be honest before you tonight, and thank you for all that you've given, and thank you for all that you provided. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to use this passage of scripture tonight, or several verses of here, to try to make a point, I guess, and try to give you some encouragement In verse 18, it was talking about Abraham. He said, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, it's talking about Abraham receiving a promise from God that in him and in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed and he would become the father of many nations. And the Scripture clearly makes it clear that that was given to him before he received the sign of circumcision. Of course, we know Israel's error. Israel got to believing that the fact that something was done in their physical flesh made them righteous. Isn't it an amazing thing how the devil works on people and gets us to focus on something that... And mostly, he gets us to focus on the physical flesh. You have the sin of self-righteousness, right? And we see the cost that it cost the nation of Israel, trusting in some ceremonial thing that was done in their physical flesh for their righteousness. And then we see Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Isn't it amazing that Abraham's temptation, if you will, was not to self-righteousness, but possibly to self-pity. Something to think about. I mean, think about Abraham. Abraham had a promise from God. He was a 100 years old. Sarah was 90, past the time of bearing children. And he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. He didn't consider his body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. I have a very simple message to you tonight. If I were to look at Abraham's life, I would say that Abraham, certainly we see nothing about Abraham where he's tempted to self-righteousness. We do see in Abraham's life where throughout his life he kind of gets afraid. You know, on more than one occasion, right? He said that Sarah was his sister, right? Because he was scared of what people would do to him, that they would kill him to take his wife because she was a very beautiful woman. And so he had her say that he's my brother, you know, and you know, they kind of shaded the truth a little bit because they were kinfolk, they were related, but the simple fact is that he kind of was afraid. He kind of felt sorry for himself. And if there was a chance that Abraham would fail here, you would think it would be in this area where he looked at what was going on. And he looked at who he was. And you know what happened? You saw the things that happened. You saw Sarah's lack of faith. Sarah pushed him to take Hagar, right? To give her a child. Take her handmaid. And then after Hagar conceived and bore him a child, she forced him to commit adultery. And then after she got what she thought she wanted, she was mad. She was jealous. And we know all the trouble that's come. But it says of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And that's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. But you know what he did not do? He did not consider his body. He didn't consider his flesh. Whereas Israel's failure, their self-righteousness, was they got to the point to where they thought because there was something done to them in their physical flesh that they were righteous, and they abandoned the faith that Abraham had. Abraham's temptation very well could have been to have self-pity about himself and come up with an excuse why God can't do what he did. He could have said, you know what? The time is past for me. Now, I dare say what happens to us many times is we look at our flesh and then come up with excuses why we can't do what God wants us to do. Don't we? What is that but self-pity? I mean, first of all, it's putting the flesh above God. It's saying that God can't do anything with it. But how many things do we fail to do because of the flesh? We don't believe that God's going to keep His word. So we stop doing things that we used to do, whatever the case may be. I don't know, but I just simply say that when it comes to genuine faith in God, we have to not consider our flesh. The faith that Abraham had, he didn't consider his flesh. We live in a world where, I mean, let's face it, Abraham's probably in a lot better shape than we were. I mean, because of how long he lived, right? And God, but where did he get the health? Where did he get it from? Did he get it from just he's naturally born that way? Well, part of that because he wasn't the effects of the fall of man weren't as strong in that time, I'm sure. But nonetheless, because he did live much longer. But then again, we also know that after he had, after Sarah had died, he married another woman. Her name was Keturah and had children. But what happened? His body at the time when God made the promise was dead. his body at the time in Sarah's womb was dead. That it was past the time for her. She had given up hope, but he never did. And he didn't consider that. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, we're talking about a miraculous birth, right? We're talking about a miraculous birth, but isn't the whole point of salvation a miracle? Isn't the whole point of salvation something greater than just what we ourselves can accomplish in our own strength and our own ability? Isn't the whole idea of salvation and faith in Christ and what God's going to do, isn't it beyond what is considered normal by the world? No. And yet, how oft do we allow our flesh, our weaknesses, our failures, to be the excuse for not believing God? It's pretty normal. Let's just be honest about it. It's pretty normal. You don't have to go very far down the line. God called Moses to go and deliver the children of Israel and go send his message to Pharaoh and call his people out of Egypt. And what was Moses' first thing? I can't speak. I'm slow of speech. So, I mean, it's a valid thought. But, you know, we think of Abraham, and we think of the faith of Abraham, and we think of the faith of that he had, and we say, man, he believed God. And I don't want to be crude or anything like that, but let's just be honest with you. In order for them, it was not a virgin birth. So maybe they had to, well, not maybe, but most definitely they had to pick up some things that maybe they had left off doing as a husband and wife, right? There was a level of intimacy that maybe they hadn't enjoyed or tried for a while, and they had to get to the point where they said, okay, this is what God says. And I'm not trying to be crude or anything like that. I'm just trying to be honest. And the simple thing is, we have to get to the point where we just simply say, you know, this is how I feel. And this is what I know about myself. But this is what God wants me to do. Here are my limitations. And here are the promises and the will of God. Which is going to be the decider of what I do. Am I going to act according to what I know are my limitations and my weaknesses and my failures, or am I going to believe God? Something to think about. And we all have that, don't we? We all get old. Brother Abraham got old. Brother Jacob got old. And what did he do? Well, when he was old, he called his sons and blessed his sons. He called Joseph's sons. He blessed the sons of Joseph. And he worshipped, leaning upon his staff. When Joseph got old, he called the children of Israel together and said, "Hey, God's taking you out. When you leave, take my bones. Swear to me that you'll take my bones." He said, "God brought me down to Egypt to save this nation. But when he brings you out, I'm going with you one way or another." Go all the way through. We see the things that are done by faith. We see Paul. We look at what was said about the Apostle Paul. He himself admitted that he was rude in speech. Right? And his critics said his letters are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is contemptible. And he said, "You just wait till I get there and you'll see what I am." He said, "I'm not coming in my own power. I'm coming in his power." And I'm trying to get you to think about this and look at this from a simple perspective. This is not a complicated message or anything like that. It's just kind of a challenge. It's kind of a point of, what are we going to do? Are we going to look at our flesh, our weakness, our all these things? And is that going to be the decider of what we do? Or are we going to look at the promises and the will of God and say that's going to be the decider? Are we going to be strong in faith, or will we stagger at the promise of God through unbelief? We're always tempted to unbelief, and the most obvious temptation to unbelief that we have there with Abraham is his body. 100 years old, now dead, past his time and everything. And Sarah, the deadness of her womb, both of them past the time. They didn't believe. Or they believed, rather. He believed. He faltered in some places. I mean, we just talked about Hagar and all the things that went on with that. But we know that simple fact that he believed God, and he praised the Lord. And you know, that's something we've got to get to, the point to where we just believe God and praise God regardless of what's going on. And don't worry about what your body feels like. Don't worry about what everything. Just step out by faith to do and accomplish what God wants us to do. And just believe the promises of God. Believe the the will of God and what God's will is, what we know of that. And focus and say, that's what we got to do. And don't worry about how you feel or how weak you are, how many times you failed or fallen or whatever. We've got to get to the point where we just simply believe God. And you know, it's an amazing thing when we get to the point of Abraham taking that little baby, or that young son, excuse me, I feel like I'm about to sneeze. Excuse me, I'm sorry about that. When we get to that point of Abraham taking his young son, Isaac, and going to the mountains of Moriah after God said, "Go and offer him on a burnt offerings on at the place that I will show thee," right? On the mountains of Moriah, at the place that I will show thee. He went up there and they saw the mountains of Moriah there, and they saw that place, and he told the men, he said, "Stay here, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come again." And the book of Hebrews tells us, if you want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us, By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You know, I started thinking about that. That's some amazing faith, isn't it? He accounted, he said, look, if I go here and kill him, God's made me a promise and he'll raise him from the dead if he has to keep his promises. That's the God I serve. That's who he is. But you know, I started thinking about it, and didn't he already get Isaac from the dead once already?
Well, yeah, he did.
Wasn't Sarah's womb dead?
Yeah.
Wasn't his body now dead?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd he get this little miracle of a baby? From a dead mama and a dead father, their bodies dead?
Yeah.
If you think about it, wasn't like he didn't have any experience with that, was it? Abraham, because he trusted God, with Isaac's birth, when it came time to give Isaac back to God and put him in his hands and take the blessings of God and put them on the altar if need be, and put all the promises and the blessings of God on the altar, he was well prepared to do it. Does Abraham, there's one thing about this, we look at Abraham at the beginning of this time, at this point, we look at Abraham and we see him where he's here with the birth of this child, and we do see some missteps, don't we? We see Hagar, right? And we see that unwillingness of Sarah to believe God and trying to figure out how to do it herself according to the flesh. We see all that type of stuff. We see those missteps because she's barren, can't have a child. So she's trying to figure it all herself. And you know, because God's made him a promise that it would be, he made him a promise earlier that it would be the fruit of his own body would be his heir, right? In Genesis chapter 14. Alright? And so they had dealt with it. So she brought the idea of Hagar, and she brought that in, and all of those things. So there were some missteps there. But God said, No, you misunderstood. I'm going to give you a son out of your wife, out of Sarah. But wait a minute, it's too late now, isn't it, God? No, it wasn't too late. And once he found that out, once he learned, and he saw the things that happened there, notice something about that. When we get to the book of Genesis, and let's go back to the book of Genesis, let's go to the chapter there where he offers Isaac. And let's see. Yep, Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire for the and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And he said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went together, both of them. And they came to the place which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And of course, we know the angel of the Lord called out unto him and told him not to do that. And he lifted up his eyes. He saw a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. He took the ram and made him an offering. And we know the picture there of God will provide himself a lamb. And God literally did in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But there's one thing that you don't see in there. You know what you don't see? You don't see any missteps, do you? You don't see any hesitation, do you? If you learn to believe God, if we will learn to believe God and simply step forward by faith to accomplish what He wants us to do and not consider our own bodies, our flesh, our limitations, our weaknesses, if we'll just find out what the will of God is and believe the promises of God and set out to do it, we'll be able to do it. Not only that, when a greater challenge comes, we'll be able to meet it by faith. There he is. There's the picture. We get to learn some things about him. It's kind of an amazing thing when you look at the scriptures there when it talks about Christ there being the Lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. All right, and he literally provided himself as a lamb. But you know, it says that we look at the Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If Jesus died for you, if God loved you so much to send his son to die for you, why would we think he's going to withhold anything else? The idea of salvation is to understand the truth, to be justified by faith like Abraham was, and to believe God. Once again, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And what? And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Continue believing. Yeah. Believe each time you're tried and tested. But as long as we're looking at the flesh, as long as we look at our flesh and see our failures, our weakness, our infirmities, as long as we do that, we're going to fail. We have to look at the will of God. One more passage of scripture. I'm trying to remember if I've got the if I remember the scripture I'm looking for here. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul's talking to them. And he says, Brethren, I beseech you, verse 12, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 12, Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Paul could have said, man, I can't see good. I've got a problem. Something wrong with my eyes. I have an infirmity in my flesh. I don't know what he had. He may have had some type of eye infection. He may have had something. The idea is picture is a malady of the eyes, because he said, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. So he went there and preached in the infirmity of his flesh, and God did such a work that they loved him so much that they didn't despise him because of that. They would have done anything they could to help him. That's a work of God, not a work of man. That's a work of God, not a work of Paul's personality. We see what happens with Paul's personality early in when he's with Barnabas, don't we? And when John Mark fails, John Mark, he quit. I don't want him. And so Paul says, all right, you go your way, I'll go mine, and give me Silas. But we see the work of God. We don't consider the infirmity of our flesh. We consider the Word of God. We consider the promises of God. We consider the will of God. We believe God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, help us to be like Abraham, in that we won't consider our bodies and our failures and our infirmities and all those things, but help us to just simply believe you and live by faith and not allow anything to stop us from just doing what we can of your will by faith. Lord, help us to understand when there's so many things we know are your will, and Lord, help us not to neglect those things we know, but as you reveal more to us, help us to just believe you and trust you and not worry about our flesh. Help us, Lord, to live by faith in that manner. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.